Now, a long time ago, way before there was Larry King and way before there was Art Bell, there was a fellow by the name of John Zimmerman who went by the air name of Long John Debbel. He was a very influential New York talk show host, and he was at our affiliate, WOR. He entertained, he mesmerized millions of people in New York and along the East Coast for years. He was one of the first to deal with anomalous phenomena, UFOs, and other strange topics. As a matter of fact, once he had a chance to interview George Adamski. He was one of the first who talked about being picked up in a spaceship. Listen to Long John Debbel.
Then on November 20th of that year, amateur astronomer George Adamski saw a saucer land, and he met the pilot, a Venusian. This is George's description.
A man was up there and waving to me. So I come up to this fella, and he had a funny suit on him, sort of a ski-type suit. And I thought it was one piece. Well, later, I have learned it's two piece.
George Adamski, I wonder if you could describe this man in detail to us.
Yeah, a man about 5 foot 7 to 8 inches, and I would say around 135 pounds of quite delicate hands, the tapered fingers, and beautiful, very sharp eyes, looked like they looked right through you. Sometimes you couldn't hardly tell whether he was really a man or a woman. And the long hair waving, resting on his shoulders, he kind of a halfway smile, and put his hand out to shake. And it was a palm-to-palm contact anyway, and he smiled. He started telling me things, and I couldn't understand. And I finally got the idea, I want to know where he's from. I pointed to the sun, and I made one orbit, called it Mercury, named it, and then Venus, and then Earth, and pointed to myself in the Earth. And then I said, where are you from? He got the idea. He finally pointed to the sun, and he made one orbit, didn't say nothing. He made a second orbit, and he pointed to himself and to that orbit. Then that meant Venus. That's how I knew he was Venusian.
But he couldn't talk to you.
He could talk. He was testing my ability of receiving impressions, he told me later. So he did understand everything I said, except I didn't understand.
When you say impressions, are you referring to telepathic communication?
That's correct. All information we receive silently.
George, if you were a little doubtful, did he tell you that he was a man?
He did. But even then, I was a little bit doubtful, but you know, when nature calls, the nature calls.
Long John Debbel died 2 months short of his 67th birthday. He died in 1978. When he did die, he had massive, huge ratings. His longtime producer, Paris Flamung, is with us right now. Paris, that's got to bring you back some memories listening to that clip, huh?
Oh, yes. I knew George very well. We had him on, I would say, no fewer than 16 or 18 times, along with the other famous George contactees, George Van Tassel and George King from England. The remaining ones of importance were Orfeo Angelucci, who was told absolutely phenomenal, fairy tale like expositions of his adventures in outer space, and the only one from the East Coast was Howard Menger from Highbridge, New Jersey.
Paris,
all of them were West Coast people in those days.
What was it like working with Long John Debbel? Here's a guy who was creative way before most radio hosts would think about things like that.
Well, John, of course, invented the entire outre area of broadcasting, and he had was not a network personality. He was syndicated later on, but in the early days, he had a coverage of WOR in those days was 50,000 watts. I guess it probably still is.
Still is.
And he reached what was generally advertised as 27 states. although was a certain Skip phenomena who sometimes was picked up by Arch Obler, the old radio man out in Arizona, from some sort of atmospheric peculiarities.
He developed something that nobody thought would be successful, and then you teamed up with him as his producer. It must have been just some incredible moments for both of you.
Well, it was for me because I was in isolation in those days. I had lived for years in Greenwich Village, and for reasons that need not go into, I was living alone and almost without contact with anybody when I got a telephone call from his office asking if I would appear because I had sent a postcard correcting an illiteracy by one of his pals. And that was the kind of mood I was in. And he had his coordinator, David DeField, call and ask if I would come up and be a guest on the show. And I said, absolutely not. I didn't guest anywhere these days. Next day, his secretary, Anna Marie Goetz, called and said, she didn't understand why I'd refused David, but would she be able to persuade me to come up and do the show? And I said, absolutely not. And that evening, the phone rang again for me, and I picked it up, and what I heard was, why in the hell won't you do my goddamn show? This is John. And so he, being the best salesman I ever met, and maybe the best salesman this country has ever produced, talked me into it in about 10 minutes. And
he was one of the best.
Saturday.
Paris, I want to thank you personally for working with Long John Neble, both of you allowing talk show hosts like me to do what we're doing today. Thank you so much.
Well, it was our pleasure. We had a marvelous time and a 25-year run, and I wasn't with them all that time. I was with them only for 5 or 6 years, but it certainly created a entertainment form that had never existed before, and I'm glad that several of you are carrying it on so successfully.
It was quite a ride, I'll tell you that. And we are so honored to be on WOR, the station where Long John Neble made his name.